I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome once again to these special Christmas editions of Achtung Millwall. My name is Nick Hart, and it is my mission in this semi-lockdown-ish, not quite, maybe not period that we're in at the moment, to bring you some measure of Millwall entertainment as best I can. And as you know, I'm doing these series of antique roadshow-style reviews of Millwall objects of historical and cultural significance as I see them. So today's item, dear listeners, begins with a very early form of club programme, I suppose you'd call it, unofficial programme. It's known as the Cahill's Correct Card. This is from the collection of Andy Sullivan once again. This is a real find that Andy's got here. It was a kind of a single sheet team sheet, in a sense, produced by a chap called Obed Cahill, and I will come on to Obed in a second. But this is actually from 1897, March the 4th, 1897, to be precise. This is a game played on the Isle of Dogs between Millwall and Corinthians. Now, Corinthians were a major name in amateur football prior to the First World War. It was actually existed from 1882 to 1939. And these were our opponents on this occasion at the Athletic Ground, East Ferry Road on the Isle of Dogs. Now the location of a major Asda store right by Cross Harbour Station for everyone that works in the area. That Asda was where Millwall's ground, one of them, on the island was located. Our opponents, Corinthian, as I say, were actually, they do have a link with the Corinthians Club of Brazil. It was an amateur club, and it was credited, I'm just reading from Wikipedia, credited with popularising football around the world. It promoted sportsmanship and fair play and championed the ideals of amateurism, playing the game for the love, no payment. Their outlook, which is in sharp contrast, I think, to Millwall, is famously summed up, it says here, as their attitude to penalties. As far as they were concerned, a gentleman would never commit a deliberate foul on an opponent. So if a penalty were awarded against the Corinthians, their goalkeeper would stand aside, leaning languidly on the goalpost and watch the ball being kicked into the net. If the Corinthians won a penalty, then their captain took a short run-up and gave the ball a jolly good whack, chipping it over the crossbar. They wouldn't take a penalty. They would let you score one, but they wouldn't take one. That's the kind of club that the Corinthians were. Real Madrid famously were inspired to adopt their Corinthian white kit, and sporting club Paulista Corinthians, and a Maltese side, Sedgetun Corinthians in Malta, adopted their name. And they were our opponents, so you can imagine quite a class divide. I think that's probably the best way I'm going to put it on this show, dear listeners. The Millwall team for this game, listed according to Cahill's Correct Card, is Carter in goal, Graham and Robson, the fullbacks, the halfbacks, King, Miller and Matthews. Up front, we have Whelan, Calvi, Gettins, McKenzie and Davis. And on the Corinthians side, I don't know any of these names. Campbell, Pelly Oakley, Ingram, Foster and Vickers, Burnup, Alexander, Geo Smith, in, and then Collier and Topham in the front line there. The correct card for the game is quite something. It's quite a fascinating thing to look at. It's got adverts around it. It was in a kind of like an A4 size, so you fold it down to what I suppose we'd call now A5, and then further, actually, it looks like you can fold it again, so it would be down to what, A6. So quite small. It was designed to go into your pocket. It had the team sheet, which I've just read out, surrounded by adverts. For the best football report, see the Sportsman newspaper, it says. Geo Peterkin, George Peterkin, general printer and stationer of 3 Colt Street, Limehouse. Posters, handbills, tickets, programmes quickly printed. And there's another one for the Sportsman down the other side. R.G. Gaskin, the people's boot and shoemaker of 70 West Ferry Road, Millwall. And then underneath it all, tailors. BT the Tailors, local tradesmen, overcoats, shirts, trousers, hats, caps and braces, shirts, collars and ties. Why leave the island, asks BT. I'm just going to turn it round. It's quite a difficult thing, because obviously it's designed to be folded up. So when you're reading it on your iPad, the photograph turns round as you turn the screen. But they've also got a list of fixtures here. 1896 to 97 season, the German FA, around 9-0, famous 9-0 slaughtering of the German Football Association in September. Home game against Notts County, I see there, 2-1. Tottenham Hotspur, 6-5 win for the Dockers. And so it goes on. Lovely, lovely stuff. Obid Kagil was a player with the Lions. The Lions, the Dockers, I should call them, shouldn't I? Obed Kagil was his first name. He played as a goalkeeper, also played as a right back when he started. He joined Millwall Rovers in 1889 from a side called Glengall Rovers, and is rated by James Murray in the Lions of the South book as being on the verge of an England cap as an amateur. Injured at the end of the 1893-94 season in a friendly game against Stoke in a collision with an oncoming forward. He compounded a fracture in the left leg, and that was a career ender for Obed. He did get a testimonial, and there's a slight difference of opinion as to the testimonial. In James Murray's book, this is listed as a joint Millwall and Arsenal English side playing a joint Millwall and Arsenal Scottish side. So the Millwall Arsenal English beat the Millwall Arsenal Scots by 3-2. In front of 5,000 at East Ferry Road, generating £150 for Obed, which, according to the Bank of England, is actually quite a nice amount. £150 in 1895 is worth £20,000 in 2020 terms, as their website shows. Yes, that's not bad. Not a bad payday for Obed. As I say, there is some difference in account. James Murray has it as this quite nice idea, Millwall and Arsenal English versus Millwall and Arsenal Scots. However, I do have other accounts from the press of the time. For example, the East London Observer in March 1895, which refers to, during the same afternoon, Obed Kagil's benefit match took place at Millwall, and it is gratifying to report announced it was in all respects most successful. Between 5,000 and 6,000 spectators were present. So far, so good. When at 4:30, Kagil himself kicked it off, despite his injury, kicked off the game at least. The match, as previously announced, was Millwall versus the rest of the league. In the latter, however, no less than 8 members of the Royal Ordnance appeared. Now, I know that it was Woolwich Arsenal. But is that the same team as the Royal Ordnance, I'm asking? I don't think it is. I think Royal Ordnance are a different side. And interestingly, in the Athletic news, the fixture is listed as Millwall Athletic versus the Southern League. This match, played for Kagil's benefit, was played yesterday at Millwall. The Athletic gained the day by 3-2. So Southern League, rest of the league, similar thing, I suppose. containing members of the Royal Ordnance. I'll have to look up and see whether Royal Ordnance is, in actual fact, Woolwich Arsenal. So bear with me a second. So the Royal Ordnance Factories FC were a football club from South East London that existed in the late 19th century. They played at the Invicta Ground in Plumstead. They were formed in 1893 and dissolved around 1896. They played in the Southern League. They opted to play in all blue and played at the Invicta, which was Royal Arsenal's old ground. I think Arsenal shuttled between the Invicta Ground and the Manor Ground. The Manor Ground is roughly on the site in Plumstead. Is there a bus garage there in Plumstead? Near to where the prison is nowadays, Belmarsh. I think the Invicta Ground was on the opposite side of the road. But they were the opponents. Now, whether that's they had linkage with Woolwich Arsenal or not, I don't know. So you've got various accounts, whether it was Royal Ordnance, a Royal Arsenal team, or Woolwich Arsenal, a separate club entirely, as to Cahill's benefit. Certainly a benefit was played, and he got the equivalent in modern terms of 20,000, having the suffering the loss of his football career. So that's ultimately all that matters. But interesting that there's a difference and some confusion as to who or what the opponents were that day. The Cahill family actually were Isle of Dogs, an Isle of Dogs family. They're actually mentioned in the Ireland History website and History Trust website. And William Cahill, I'm going to guess that's Obed's father, I guess, was one of the original shareholders. There's a list of original shareholders when the Mill Rovers were formed in 1885, and William Cahill of 217 West Ferry Road, a commercial clerk, was listed as one of the original shareholders alongside a number of other major names. I'm just going to read the biography from Who's Who. There's a nice photograph actually of Obed Cahill, which I'll try and photograph and put out with the correct card. So a goalkeeper, 35 games for Millwall Athletic. He was born in Timothy's Wharf in 1870. Is that on the island, Timothy's Wharf? I imagine it would be. Born in 1870 on the Isle of Dogs. He died in Torquay in 1945, 3rd of December. His career as a player, Glengall Rovers, Millwall Athletic, retired through injury, 1894. Obed was one, the first of many and excellent and distinguished goalkeepers, Who's Who says, that we've had, and was seen as an England international in the making, but he refused all offers to turn professional and even criticised Millwall for going full-time. He didn't like professionalism, it seems. A broken leg in the last match of the 1893-94 season against Stoke at East Ferry Road saw him spend 8 months in hospital and ended his career. Obed kept his link with Millwall when he instigated the forerunner of today's match programme with Cahill's correct card, a dock manager in later life and stevedore. His son Tom was also a Mill director. So quite a Mill family, the Cahills. And his Cahill's correct card were early forms of a match day programme. As I say, just basically a team sheet that you could fold into four. He would actually retain some input into the Millwall match day programme on the first game, certainly onwards, when we moved to the Den in New Cross. In James Murray's book, he's listed as having some editorial input into the full 8-page match day programme that was produced after that. So there we are, Obed Cahill. Major name, actually. Cahill's correct card. And he does have one. The other one I've seen is a reproduction of it, one in the James Murray book. But this is a great, great photograph, which I will put out with this, you know, the show notes for this particular edition. Lester the Limehouse Taylor. My eyes just fallen upon this, listeners. He overcoats in all shades, 25 shillings. Dress suits, Scotch suitings, serge. 35 shillings, and Scotch tweed trousers, trews, 10 and 6, maybe reflecting our Scottish links at this time for Millwall Athletic. He's based in Limehouse East. Commercial Road, 795 and 322 Burdett Road. That's Leicester the Taylor's great adverts. Forthcoming fixture of Southampton in the Southern League, it says. Admission sixpence, 6D in old money. There we are. Cahill's correct card. Obid Cahill. It's wonderful to have the chance to be able to mention Obed's name. He's a great Millwall character and one of the major names in the early days of the formation of our club. But I'm going to move along. That's Obid's Cahill's correct card. He would spell it Cahill, C-A-Y-G-I-L-L-S. Correct was spelt as apostrophe K-R-E-C-T, correct card, which and card was C. I would have put it as maybe K-K-K doesn't work. Cahill's correct card, K-K-K, but he did spell it with a C and then the kind of very quirky apostrophe K correct card. He would continue to call us Millwall Athletic despite the club officially at least changing its name to Millwall FC in the early 1900s. But he, Cahill, Obid stuck with Millwall Athletic. That was the way that he liked it, it seems. But we're going to move along, dear listeners, to our second Millwall item of historic and cultural significance. And this was one that was sent to me a while ago when I was doing the Coldblow Lane fanzine. This is actually a really lovely commemorative plate. And I don't know who sent it to me now, so I'm going to list it as A.N. Other. If it's yourself, I really appreciate this photograph. It's, again, similar to the mug that we mentioned, the 2001 Championship mug that was mentioned in one of the previous editions of this. This is... I don't know if the club did this or whether it was done privately, but it's a kind of a hand-painted commemorative plate. It's edged in gold, Millwall Football Club written in the kind of like a fancy script across the top of the circle of the plate. You've got the Den London SE14 on one side, the Lions founded in 1885 on the other, and it marks the Football League Division 1 season 1988-89. And in the middle, you've got a roaring lion. As I say, looks like it's hand-painted. Football League Division 2 champions, 1987-88. Played 44, won 25, drew 7, lost 12. Scored 75, conceded 52, 82 points to lift the championship on that famous last day. Last but one day, actually, wasn't it? It always seems like the last day up there at Hull City, that 1-0 win where we secured the championship, and then that bizarre Blackburn celebratory 4-1 defeat at home after the team had been let loose in the pubs of South East London by manager John Doherty. I'm not going to dwell too long on that season. It's a very well-known season. We've covered it quite a few times, one way and the other, on these shows. But the commemorative plate is just a really nice-looking thing. I think it has the look of almost like a privately made thing rather than a club object. I don't remember it being on sale in the programme. Correct me if I'm wrong, if anyone has any more information about these commemorative plates. It's a really nice idea, and I know from time to time we haven't had anything to really commemorate since, but I think it's always really nice when items of this kind get produced to mark major events in club history. One of the reasons that we try and do the likes of the calendars and the yearbooks is that I just think it's football is marked by these memorialising events, if that makes any sense. And it's just a really nice... It makes impact on people, and that clearly this Millwall Football Club Division 1 season plate is something you'd keep for life. You wouldn't get rid of it. And we try to do similar things in a much smaller way, much more a smaller scale event with the likes of our calendars and the yearbook that I'm hoping we might get together for the new season next year, 22-23. So really, really nice commemorative plate marking the promotion from Division 2 to that wonderful, wonderful season in Division 1, 88-89. Wonderful stuff. So there we are. That's the second of our items of Millwall historic and cultural significance. And as I said in one of my previous editions of this, I'm applying this principle very, very loosely. And I've picked out a banner. I've always liked this photograph. It's the last game played at the Den in 1993, which was Bristol Rovers. Well, again, we lost. We begin it with a defeat, and we ended our time at the Den with a defeat. That was a 3-0 loss against Bristol Rovers, May the 8th, to be precise. Played in front of 15,821, which included myself and the gentleman that put up this wonderful banner, which says, "The Den RIP." It made the South London press, "The Den RIP." There's a picture of a chap. I wonder who this chap is. He's wearing one of those Toffs 1930s style shirts with the Red Mill lion and MFC emblazoned on the royal blue shirt with a big flappy white collar. Next to him is, it looks like, maybe father and a young boy, maybe grandfather. One's got like a Detroit Lions D cap, and the others have got a traditional flat cap, and they're all looking suitably unhappy at the demise of the Den, that chaotic day where everyone was on the pitch at the end. Even I went on the pitch, listeners, and that's quite something for me. I'm not your invade the pitch type of bloke, but I did go on the pitch at the end of that anarchic finish where we'd been beaten 3-0. It was a very poor performance, very anticlimactic, on what had been really a carnival-style atmosphere prior to the game, and it all finished in a real damp squib. But as I've seen it described before, the Mill support were going to have their day. We were not going to abandon the Den in the way that the club might have wanted. Pitch invasion, digging up of the turf, the kind of retrieval of souvenirs. I think the goals got broken down, the nets got nicked. I took a bit of turf home without any clear idea what I was going to do with this bit of turf. I'm no one's gardener, dear listeners, and it kind of sat in a corner of my flat for a while, and then in the end I think I chucked it. I didn't know what else to do with it. But in the moment, in the madness of the pitch invasion, it seemed like the most logical thing in the world to do, to go and get yourself a piece of the Den's pitch. But I must admit, I didn't really know what to do with it afterwards. But the homemade banner held up by these three chaps, which had been on the Coldblow Lane end above the Players Tunnel, has three words. "The Den RIP," it says, which probably sums it all up. There was a great one, and I haven't got that picture. I can't find the picture of some guys on the pitch at the end of that Bristol Rovers game with another banner, homemade banner, which said very dramatically, melodramatically, "Here lies the Den, murdered by Reg Burr." Reg Burr, the chairman of the time, who had overseen the move from the old Coldblow Lane ground to the new Den, as it was called. I found another picture. As I'm talking, I'm looking through the picture. I found it. I'm going to put this out. "Here lies the Den, murdered by Reg Burr." A picture taken, looks like, from the Coldblow Lane end. Huge chunks of turf dug up from the pitch, and some bewildered police officers in high-vis standing behind them, looking on. There's a few images I've got here. I'm sure you've got your own images of that day, if you were there, dear listeners, of then the pitch completely occupied. Poor Reg Burr, he got blamed for murdering the Den, 1910 to 1993, which was harsh because the requirements of the Taylor report required that we convert to an all-seater stadium, and the Den, as much as we loved it, was obviously impractical for the requirements of modern football. The Premier League was coming and football was changing, whether you liked it or not, and some of us didn't like it, some did. And it all seems a long time ago now, but we needed to convert to an all-seater stadium. Could it have been done in the old ground? We've had to find the money from somewhere to do it. And the reality was that by selling the ground, Coldblow Lane, it meant that we could acquire a new site in conjunction with Lewisham Council and build the new Zampa Road Stadium as an all-seater ground from scratch. And one led to the other. I think it probably was the only practical way forwards. I do remember there was obviously a sense of sadness when we left Coldblow Lane and anarchy as you can tell by the pictures, which I will stick out with this the show notes for this particular show. But I will tell you now, listeners, I remember walking into the new ground when it was first built. I was living in Bermondsey at the time, so I was following the construction of the new place with fascination as it went up on Zampa Road. Used to go running sometimes and go run round it just to have a look at it. But when it opened in that first fixture against Sporting Lisbon, I remember going into the new ground. It sounds a bit odd now because it's become aged over the years, but my jaw dropped. And it was the first brand new London Stadium built since Arsenal, I think, in whenever they moved to Highbury in 1913. Brand new stadium, floodlights brilliant. It looked and felt like, I don't know, my jaw dropped with the awe that we had done this, that we had built this place. It sounds odd now when we joke about the rusting and the bird shit corner and all. But as time has gone along, the impracticalities of the site. But at the time when we opened, I was just awestruck and with pride that we'd done this. So there we are, the Den RIP banner. That's my third and final object on this series of Millwall items of cultural and historical significance. I'm hoping to get one more show out of this idea, dear listeners, and I'm going to try and get that out tomorrow. That'll lead us up to Christmas. We've got a fixture on Boxing Day, which I'm hoping to get along to, COVID willing. And that's going to be the end of these little series. I'm hoping you've enjoyed them. I will do them from time to time if people do want to send me any photos or items that they've got that are, you know, of interest. But I think I'm probably running out of steam on it now. I'm going to get one more done, I hope, tomorrow. So I hope you've enjoyed this particular edition, featuring Cahill's correct card, the commemorative plate from 1987-88, and that banner, the Den RIP from 1993. So there we are. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. Do let me know any thoughts and views and opinions you might have. And until the next edition of Achtung Millwall, bye for now. Just a slight postscript, dear listeners. I mentioned Arsenal's Invicta ground earlier on. I think I confused it with the other ground they used to have in Plumstead. The Invicta ground was located also in Plumstead, slightly up from Plumstead High Street. The Manor ground was located actually further down from Plumstead Station, very close to where the bus garage is on the big kind of road junction that is there now. The Invicta ground was slightly up from that, up along, it's up off of Conway Road and the High Street. Two streets actually encompass where the Invicta ground was. One's called Mineral Street and the other is called Hector Street. That's where Arsenal's ground was briefly, 1894. It was a ground built by one George Weaver, a mineral water magnate. Arsenal found his rent too high and then returned back to the Manor Ground, their previous home. And instead, an amateur side, Royal Ordnance Factories, took over. That was the club that I mentioned in the piece earlier on. Royal Ordnance Factories took over the use of the Invicta Ground on Hector and Mineral Street, now replaced by houses. And they played there for just one season, 1894. Eventually, they also moved out and the ground fell into disrepair and was eventually demolished and houses built on the site, which is what's there to this day. Apparently, you can still see some of the old terracing in some of the back gardens on Hector Street. So I just want to correct that. The other correction I've got to make, I mentioned Millwall's home game on Boxing Day versus Swansea City. And that has, of course, been postponed this afternoon. So I thought I'd just mention that there is no Boxing Day game for us now. The next fixture will be on January the 2nd, but we shall see on that. That's going to be the away game down at Bristol City. Millwall being unable to field a side on Boxing Day due to the impact of the current COVID Omicron pandemic. So no football. I will continue to try and do some of these shows. Got a few other bits and pieces to do over Christmas. So I'm hoping you're enjoying these. I just wanted to get a little postscript in because confusing the Manor Ground and the Invicta Ground is base level error on the part of any so-called football historian. So I thought I'd make a little postscript here to correct that. Thank you for listening, dear listeners. This has been Achtung Millwall. My name is Nick Hart. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.